Welcome back to the podcast that makes you faster. Today we have a special guest. Two-time Ironman World Champion Patrick Lange is joining us to talk about his preparation for the upcoming Ironman World Championships in Kailua Kona, about aerodynamics and about his passion for triathlon. Enjoy the next 30 minutes and let's start the Kona hype. Hey Patrick, first of all, thanks a lot for your time. I see that I catch you on the beautiful island of Mallorca, where you are actually having your last training camp before Kona, I guess. And I hope I'm not stopping you from putting your legs up on your well-deserved rest day.
Oh, no, it's not bad. Thanks for the invitation. And happy to talk some aero with you guys. And looking forward to that.
Nice. So let's start right away. We always say at the beginning of this podcast that it's the podcast that makes you faster. And a lot of triathletes might remember the Project 101 that we started in 2018 with you. And back then we printed or 3D printed a custom cockpit for you so that you can beat the course record. And you obviously beat the course record, and you obviously did it like by far more than 101 seconds. It feels like that this was like the beginning of a new era of custom cockpits and custom bike parts and everything. What do you think changed the most since then?
Indeed. First of all, it was a great project together with Sauber Engineering back in Hinwil. They also do all the Formula One stuff, and I think that's a great collaboration because of Jean-Paul's really good connection back to his Formula One days, made the access to an area where we as triathletes never had been before, especially in 3D printed titanium. I think that was a material that no one ever really got their hands on before us. And it was a great experience for me as a Formula One fan. In particular, was really, really great for me to be part of almost a Formula One engineering process on my bike. So it also, set the starting point of a big motivation going into Kona, and obviously, like you mentioned, started a whole new era of aero development in triathlon. And I think we saw times dropping over the last couple of years, and I think the biggest part is obviously aero. It was a great project, and I'm really grateful for Swisside for providing the opportunity to push the boundaries in ways like that. So this is awesome. And
And I think from my point of view, it's like nothing has changed dramatically since then, because in the year after, there was like a lot of customized cockpits out there and a lot of customized bike parts. But since then, it's like everyone has now a customized cockpit and customized bike parts, but there was no step up. So this was back then a huge step.
I think the approach of aero was a little bit different back then. So we had the open cockpit where we kind of channeled the air through the arms and around the body, while now which was also an invention from Swisside, because we never get tired, especially Swisside never gets tired of pushing for those seconds. So I remember the year after we went to St. Moritz and tested a closed version of the cockpit with the aero sensor attached to my bike. So this was the first steps to even push it further, close the cockpit. And now we see everyone has to close cockpits. Everyone got the aero approach of pushing the air around the body instead of having two flows. So again, it's really cool to have a partner who never gets tired of you know, pushing the boundaries and coming up with great new ideas. So we saw the CDA numbers dropping constantly over the last 5 years. So that's pretty cool.
It really is. Man, for your race in Kona in a few weeks' time, in your opinion, what offers you the greatest aerodynamic benefit?
The funny thing is you always think you have played all the cards, but then all of a sudden someone comes up with a great idea and you say, oh, fuck, why didn't I thought about this before? So it's interesting because 2018, I also was on the start line and thought, okay, this is you. It will not get faster than this, you know. And 3-4 years later, you think, how could I ride with such a setup? Like it's really interesting how the products develop and also the mindset of the athletes develop with it.
Yeah.
But in terms of gains, I think it's no secret that the biggest gain is the position.
Mm-hmm.
So your body creates the biggest amount of drag. So having a proper aero position, having a good helmet body connection, I think those are key elements of aero advantage. And the main challenge is to have the most comfortable position while being as aero as possible, but because we know, you know, smaller is faster, so the less frontal area you can create, the faster it will be. So there you have to find the sweet spot in some ways, and so it is really beneficial to get the help of professional bike fitter. And as soon as you have a bike fit, you can start from there, because from my opinion, you know, the fastest position is not always the best position.
True.
Because it doesn't is necessarily a good idea to ride 100 kilometers into an Ironman and then have to drop off and going into base bars because you have back pain.
It
needs to be a good symphony between aero and comfort.
And all the other stuff makes the marginal gains for your whole setup, I think. So
I think so too, yeah. Of course, the suit is a huge factor. The helmet is a huge factor. And then, you know, bike, yeah, of course.
The wheels.
Of course. Cockpit, of course. And then you trickle down to actually marginal gains, I think. It's impressive to see how much difference details can make, but it's also interesting to see how different those differences can be. Like for myself, for example, we tested a whole bunch of calf sleeves, but they really never got like the big advantage, maybe 1 watt or 1.5 watts. And with other athletes, you see 11, 12 watts advantage. So that's crazy.
Yeah, especially the combination also of suits and wheels. Like you mentioned, aero car sleeves, cockpits, helmets, bikes. It's like it's crazy what you can save in terms of power and in terms of watts. And as you said, it's super individually. What's the best setup for you? So for all of the listeners out there, test your stuff. Go out there and test it.
Yeah, I remember when I did not have the opportunity to go to the wind tunnel. I just got on top of a mountain and did like a rolling test. You know, 2 kilometer without pedaling in position and then rolling down the hill and, you know, going up, changing the helmet, rolling down again, noticing the times, the average speeds. You know, it got me an idea and it was impressive to see the differences. So, of course, there is a gold standard, which is the wind tunnel to test aerodynamic efficiency, but I think there are also cheaper ways to at least get an idea what works for you and what not.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you feel about a big race like Kona, is it still a bit fun for you, or is it just something you have to win and it is just pressure?
No, I don't have to win it because I won it twice. So there is no point for me to prove that I am a Kona champion and I'm able to win it. So that kind of releases the pressure a little bit, which is also nice.
Nice.
So the biggest pressure that I have is from myself. You know, I put the most pressure on myself that no one else can do it in a way like I did it. So for me, it's just still it is the greatest race of them all. And especially in nowadays where you only get to race it every 2 year, it makes it even more special. And you know, I'm also not the youngest anymore to be 100% honest.
Come on, so you have five more years, man.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. Like, as long as I and still enjoy it, and
of course,
obviously. But it's also cool to you know, things like Swisside provides definitely motivates me. So I don't have the feeling that I have reached the top of my game yet, and help with, for example, Swisside, also Canyon, Ecoy, all the brands, you know, now the new coach just opens my view to, okay, there is still some, or not some, a lot potential out there. Yeah. And I'm the one who strives to perfection and want to be 100% accurate about things and try to extract the most out of every situation. And that is, for me, it's a big driving force to still keep going and to still think, okay, it's possible. And so I think it's still possible for me to win a third title in Kona. And that's what I'm aiming for. And this is why I also am really grateful to have the help of Swisside. I mean, they will be there. They will be doing the aero measurements, you know, on the island with their little wind collector and making all the data. Also, all the data that the normal people doesn't necessarily see in before the race, because we as professional athletes, have the advantage of those measurements and those calculations that JP and his team provides us. That's pretty cool. So it's those little things.
Still hungry for more.
Absolutely.
That's so nice. That's so great. And I do got the feeling, as I'm following your journey, of course, that it feels like so everything brand new, and now it's starting like in a new half or a new era of your racing. So we in the team are really, really looking forward to Kona and the other races that are coming up. What can the world of triathlon learn from you in terms of balance?
In terms of, I think you have to differentiate between work-life balance, training life balance, and let me touch on that training life balance. I think if you see my history as an athlete, if I don't crash, I will not get injured. So knock on wood. So I'm an athlete who obviously have extracted quite a lot out of my potential without overdoing it and getting injured all the time. So for me, it is really important to have this balance and have a good relation to my wife, to my friends. And, you know, I let Fife be straight and just don't push the limits too far off. And it's also, I also get sometimes the question if triathlon or high performance sports on this level is kind of an addiction, and I think, of course, it's super cool, and it's you have to be willing to go further and deeper than like a normal regular person. But for me, it is not like an addiction. Like, I also can lay on the bed for a day and chill, or just go out in winter and having a couple of beers with my friends. And I think that's what makes it makes the balance. You know, you have to have a life, and you have to be certain when to push and when to release the throttle a little bit. And I think I worked that out for myself quite nicely.
That's a great tip to all the age groupers out there. Have a life.
Have a life, please. Have a life. Yeah, it is honestly like that. You know, so many athletes get lost in this. And where's the point of, you know, not having fun in life? So
true. Yeah, for a lot of time, because you can do triathlon. As from an age grouper point of view, you can do it like you're 45, 50, 60 years old. And if you only concentrate on training and plans and everything, yeah, you might wake up at the age of 65 and think about, why didn't I have some beers with
my
friends?
Where did my life go?
where are my friends?
Absolutely.
So how and where do you find peace?
In the mountains. So I'm fortunate enough to live in Salzburg, close to the mountains. That's where I always wanted to live, because I think climbing on top of a mountain is a really special feeling, and is kind of an energy place for me. So just sitting there and seeing sunrise, for example, is just for me like recharging the batteries.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds super nice. I'm actually in Berlin, and I really need some mountains.
you can climb on top of Teufelsberg, but
100 times.
100 times.
All right, man. I'm in the beginning of this podcast, or as I was preparing for the podcast, I thought about talking about the race in Texas and the outcome of everything. But I think that we all know that there was a triathlete that robbed you your victory in Texas, and we all know dopers suck. So and you said everything about it, I guess. So if you don't want to add anything on this, we can move on with community questions.
Yeah, I'm excited for the community questions. But I think I don't want to not say anything about it. Maybe some listeners did not heard about it or saw the Instagram post that I put out. So late April, I crossed the finish line in second in Texas, which is an important race for me, because I think this has been my first ever Ironman in 2016, and I straight away won it. So I have really great connection to Texas. I did my all my Kona preparations. I did in the Woodlands, where the race is happening. I'm living there with a family. It's always the same family, so it's a really special place for me. And it was a big goal to go there and you know, come back as a 2-time world champion and win this race again. So and I thought, okay, I'm pretty good prepared, and obviously have been able to win the race, but unfortunately crossed the finish line in second. So, and it never happened to me before that I won a race on the green table. So after a couple of weeks, beside from all the rumors that have been around about this guy, it turned out that he really cheated. He took I think it's some hormones or something.
Yeah.
So got tested positive twice, and he got finally DQ'd for his misbehavior, which earned me the victory. And it's just a sad story, because I think this is the, you know, winning races is what I kind of love, you know, train for and work so hard. And to have this for my team, for my sponsors that support me over all these years, for my family, those are the moments that you cannot, you know, you cannot recreate or what you live for, kind of. And having that taken away from you in such an unfair way just made me really, really angry and sad and angry and sad. So I bounced between those emotions. And, you know, now I finally got the decision that I won it. And I have to live with the situation that I will not be able to relive this moment of crossing the finish line. So, I decided to put this into motivation to create more memories of winning. So,
best way.
Maybe this allows me to push a little bit harder during my next race and, create the new memory of finishing then Ironman in first position and hold up that banner. So this is kind of, I tried to turn it into a motivation.
So cool. Really, really impressive, because I think it's crucial for your mental game, especially as a pro, to hold that banner in your hands. And
absolutely.
That does it feel, as you heard about it, does it even feel like a win? Is it now giving you something just a little bit back, or is it like,
you know, what's really strange about this whole Texas thing is I always felt, it sound weird, but I always felt like the real winner. And it's right, what also cool. all yeah. the, you know, all the private messages I got from my social media, so many people wrote to me, you're the real winner. There's 100% something dodgy going on with this guy. Yeah. And other pro athletes, literally every pro athlete in the field came to me after the race and said, what the fuck is this dude good? Like, what the fuck? It's no way that he is clean.
Coming from nowhere. Yeah.
And to underline that whole situation, when you sign up for an Ironman, you get those posters of the races. You know, they have race day poster, Ironman Texas, April 2024. And, you know, I always keep those posters until after the race. And if I win the race, you know, I take the poster and put it into a frame and hang it onto a wall.
Nice.
It's like a wall of Ironman victories. So, it's kind of my ritual to do that. And normally if I get home after the race and I did not won, I throw away the poster.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I did not throw away the poster. So I took it back home with me because I thought it feels wrong because I feel like the winner. And I never felt this in my life before. Never, never.
Yeah.
So, sometimes your gut feeling is right. And in this case, unfortunately, I have to say, I have to admit, because you don't want to have anyone think that he needs to cheat. Unfortunately, the gut feeling was right. But now, you know, it's time to move on and focus on the next goals. And yeah. It's a clear point for me that you have to say no to doping, and I'm the best example for getting to the top clean is possible, and it's also equally important for me to share the message that to the kids especially, this is possible. Everything is possible without doing dodgy shit and putting your health on the line for.
Yeah,
for things like that. So stay clean.
Full stop. Nice.
Full stop.
Yeah. Cool. That's the best way, I guess, to just move on and now turn everything into motivation and we are moving on now with the community questions.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to that.
I picked out some of them. And the first one is, what would you advise a 19-year-old who wants to become a professional triathlete?
First of all, it's great to have the dream of becoming a professional athlete and dedicating your time to it and you know, having the guts to also talk about it and go all in is really great. As a 19-year-old, first of all, you have plenty of time, so don't stress it. Like, finish your school, finish your studies. For me, I think from what I see, athletes that commit too early for 100% usually fail. So for me, it is like we talked previously about, you know, life and training balance. It's mm-hmm. also like this in younger ages to create interests, make your find a job that you or a study that you like and that you are also are willing to put in the work, and then try to go both ways. And I think that's really important to build something next to the triathlon. And then just make a good plan and be determined. Don't listen to the naysayers, because they are out there a lot. That's probably the hardest thing no one prepares you for. Because going against probably your family, like your mom and dad or your grandparents. I had this situation where parts of my family were like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you know,
get a real job.
Get a real job. You know, honestly, what are you doing there? And you will never make, I got those comments. Like, you will never get anywhere with this. This is just a ghost from your brain, you know. It's like, it's just, don't do it. Go and have some real stuff. And I think this is the hardest way to go through that, and sticking to your dream and following it and ignoring them as probably the hardest thing. But if the dream is bigger, it can be really rewarding afterwards. That's what I can say.
Nice. What's the secret to stay on top for so long?
As I mentioned previously, it's really important to have a balance and having a body that's not prone to injury. Of course, everyone gets injured from time to time, and it's really important to find out where is the limit. It's also important to not get, you know, we say in Germany, don't put your hand into the sand. you know, after one injury, to throw everything away. But as you said, it's the balance. Yeah. It's having a life alongside of the sport, having a good surround yourself with people that gives you energy rather than take away energy from you, and really love what you do, and embrace the roller coaster that a life like that can be.
Oh yeah, the last one is a really fun one. Do you ever get a song stuck in your head during a race or a long bike session?
Yeah, mostly those songs that you don't want to.
Right. What was the last one?
No, yeah. Of course. Yeah, of course. Yes. Always this crap music that sticks to your ears. So yeah, earworms I also get, yes.
Do you remember the last one that got stuck in your head or?
It's not a shitty one because it's actually a really lovely one. Because one friend of mine wrote a song for me.
Nice.
It's on Spotify. You can check it. It's Running Wolf, and the song name is Patrick Langer. So listen to it, and you will maybe know why it was getting me an earworm.
Nice. Okay, cool tip. We put a link into the comments, of course.
Yes, cool.
And in the show notes. So, man, thank you so much for all the insights and your time. And the whole team wishes you the best possible preparation and your best race on Kona in your career so far. Because, yes, as I said, you have 5 more years, man, at least.
Cool. Yeah, thank you.
And now I leave you to put your feet up and eat some Mallorcan cake on your well-deserved rest day. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.